Abel's acceptable offering. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. And we look back to Genesis and chapter 4 and verse 4, where we read, "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." The testimony of Abel is all important. It is the first proof of God's declared acceptance because of Abel's trust in the blood sacrifice which pointed to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart and substance of the gospel lies in Abel's brief life. Brief because he was slain while still a young and single man. Now notice the two offerers, both Cain and Abel, offered a sacrifice to God. We are told that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Genesis 4, verses 3 and 4. John tells us that Cain was of that wicked one, and that his own works were evil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. He was elder brother to Abel in the first human family, and no doubt received the same instruction from parents who had been clothed by the sacrifice of innocent blood and another's righteousness. Now Cain came to God. He did not scornfully ridicule the existence of God. He too built an altar and prepared an offering and bowed the knee as Abel did. But the all-seeing eye of God discerned a difference. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Now Cain's coming before God seemed to be good. The appearance had the mark of godliness. He seemed neither deficient in sincerity nor devotion. Had it been otherwise, he would not have been very wroth, so that his countenance fell. His deficiency lay in his lack of faith. He was a self-righteous worshipper. And when God stripped the disguise away, it was plainly seen that he was of that wicked one. God had ordained the way of salvation and made it clear to Adam and Eve. But Cain thought that he would come in another way, perhaps more suitable for the dignity of man. And so he put his own reason against the counsel of God and turned away from God's revealed will to make his own approach to God on his own terms. We see then that the wickedness of the human heart does not always show itself in refusal to worship God. Neither does it prove we are acceptable in our worship because we draw nigh with sincerity and devotion. Unless we come with faith in God's appointed way, and trusting in another sacrifice, the sacrifice of God's beloved Son, the Lord will not accept it. But this is the delusion of many. Both faith and unbelief implied previous instruction. But while Abel reverently believed what he was taught by his parents, Cain presumptuously refused it. The coat of skins worn by their parents were a daily instruction and witness in how sinners were saved and reckoned righteous. In order to clothe the parents with these coats of skins, an innocent animal, an innocent one, had to be killed. Blood was shed. And then the skin of the slain one was used to cover them. Beautiful picture of our being cleansed by the blood of another, our Lord Jesus Christ, and clothed with his righteousness in which to stand before God. So these coats of skins worn by the parents of Cain and Abel were a daily instruction in how sinners were to be saved and reckoned righteous. Cain, however, felt neither the consciousness of sin nor the need of pardon. He left his sin offering at the door. A rejection of Christ, of whom it was a type. He trampled on God's truth and knew nothing of his own wretchedness and need. He brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, which it acknowledged indeed a Creator's kindness, but it implied neither confession of his sinfulness nor recognition of a Savior's sacrifice and love. Abel, on the other hand, realized he was a man who had sinned and who looked for acceptance through the provision of God's mercy. Acting on this godly belief, he came with purpose of heart to consecrate himself to the Lord and his glory. He therefore brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. It was an offering which pointed forward to God's promise of the coming Redeemer, a promise which had been given to Adam and Eve, a promise which pointed to God's Lamb of sacrifice. Abel's faith rested on this hope. It was an act of self-renunciation, and he found the grace that he was seeking. Now we look at Abel's more excellent sacrifice. Abel's offering is spoken of as a more excellent sacrifice. With such an offering, he obtained witness that he was righteous, that he was made righteous. We have every reason to suppose, as in the case of Solomon and Elijah, for instance, that fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, as oftentimes it did in the Old Testament. Leviticus 9 and verse 24. God showed his approval of the sacrifice by sending fire from heaven and consuming it. By such a means did God in ancient times testify of his acceptance of an offering. Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. That is, that he was made righteous through this offering. We speak of self-righteousness, but in truth, there is no such thing. Without Christ, man has no righteousness at all. The first element in obtaining righteousness is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not the act of our faith which is our righteousness? For even that would be a work of man. But this faith is the gift of God and rests wholly on the sacrifice of the Savior. May we see our dearest Lord then as the more excellent sacrifice. It is this alone which brings peace to our conscience. It is said of Abel that he, being dead, yet speaketh. Let us then hear the voice of Abel and rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ as the more excellent sacrifice. Now, hear the words of Mr. Alleben. Amazing, holy mystery, unfathomed sacrifice, where incarnate love on Calvary's tree, accursed for sinners died, from his soul poured out unto death, that cry utters sorrow and love unknown, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, O sufferer, so wounded, so lone. Thou, how couldst thou, bruised like crushed worm, trod down in the dust of death, o'er that scene of wrathful gloom and storm, pour love's sweet undying breath? 'Twas our doom that wrung from thy soul the plea. Out of depths of the direful cross, my God, oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken, blessed Savior, for us. For us thy scars thou wearest still, sweet mark of our advocate. Soon thy form of love our souls shall thrill, low bowed at thy nail piercing. How thy wounds shall speak, how thy soul's deep cry shall fall in echo forever fall. Eli, Eli, sabachthani. Lord Jesus, our glory, our all. Amen. And they